We're starting Simon Shin Chav Gimel. I'm not going to read it to you, it's very long. But the last Simon we spoke about in Shin Chav Beis, that there's difference between Hafrash HaSchar and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And Shin Chav Gimel is all about what's different in Chutz Laretz. A lot of kulas for Chaos Chutz Laretz. Those kulas are all related to the fact that it's Ein LaYikum in HaTorah. It's a special kind of an Issa Drabanan that's not really based on a din. It's just a general that Chum like made it up out of nothing. So last time we spoke about that has a special kulas in kashering. Okay, that because it's Ein LaYikum in HaTorah, you do kashering a little differently. In Mirtzei Shem, we're going to talk later Shin Chav Ches about has kulas about who you could trust to be Mafreshala. Who you could trust to be Mafreshala. Okay, but in our din, the Shulchan says something specific about the fact that it's Ein LaYikum in HaTorah, which is a special kula. You probably heard of this, which is you could be Oichel V'Hoylech V'Achrech Mafresh, that a person on Chaos Chutz Laretz is allowed to eat the food and only do the Hafresh later on. Usually you think, let's say you want to eat something that's Chayiv in Truma, so you have to be Mafresh to Truma before you eat it. But over here, the din is that you're allowed to eat the bread first and be Mafresh afterwards. Okay, why would you do that? So the typical case why somebody would dream of doing that is when it happens on Shabbos. Okay, so it's broad. The deal is you're now allowed to be Mafresh Chal on Shabbos. And Mafresh Shumas and Maishas and Chal on Shabbos. So when a person comes, they realize on Shabbos morning that they were never Mafresh Chal on the bread that they made. Okay, so what are they supposed to do? So really, if this was Eretz Yisrael, they say, you know, let them eat cake. I mean, they're not going to have Chal on the Shabbos, because you can't eat it. But in Chutzar, it's not the din. You eat the Chal, you eat. Okay, wrong choice of words. You eat the bread, and then you leave a piece over, and then you make the hafarsha after Shabbos. Okay? Mr. Shem, next time we're going to talk about the rules of this, who could have trucked them into how you make the hafarsha after Shabbos. Okay? That's not for today. But what's important for today is that this is cool, because it's English, it's a Mitzvah Rabbanon She'en Le'ikum in HaTorah, you're allowed to eat the bread and be mafresh, and count on being mafresh later on. You don't have to be mafresh before. It's a Yetz Matzah and Pesach. Yes, that's an example we're going to maybe talk about how it's a Yetz Matzah. What?
Maybe like Erev Shabbos or something like that.
Yeah, it has to do with Shabbos later, yes, because we're going to talk later. There's Shabbos, what happens when it happens on Erev Pesach on Shabbos and you're not going to be able to eat later on? Or what if you bake Matzah on Pesach? We're going to talk, if we have time, we're going to get to those. Okay. So the a number of Mishanim, the Rosh, the Baal HaMor, and even the Torah says it right in this Simon, say that the fact that you're allowed to be eat it before you mafresh tells you that this food is obviously not tevel. Okay, the rule is for regular food is that it's tevel. Regular, if you have to be mafresh trumas, or you go tevel chal chutzards, you now eat it before, and there's an issa called tevel to eat that food. The fact that you're allowed to eat it before you mafresh tells us that there's no din of tevel on chal chutzards, or else why else would you be allowed to eat it? So there's no issa to eat tevel, and the only reason we have to be mafresh is because shok tishtaka. Teres Chala, Chazal wanted us to remember that such a mitzvah Hafarsh is Chala, so he said, be Mafresh Chala. But it's not something that makes a difference to the food. Like, for example, let's say you shecht an animal and you don't do Kisi Adam. Okay? It doesn't make the animal treif. Okay? What happens if you're not Mafresh Meiser Behema? Okay, the Behemas are not Hasser until you Mafresh Meiser Behema. Nothing, there's a mitzvah. You have to do a mitzvah with this food. When you shecht an animal, you have to Kisi Adam. Okay? It doesn't make the meat kosher or treif. It's just something that has to be done to the meat. So Chacham, when they made this rule of chal and chutz laretz, they said, we want you to remember the mitzvah of chal. They didn't say it makes the food treif if you don't do it. It's not like tevel, regular tevel. It's a mitzvah, you have to do it. So according to the Rashi, he says, you see from this din, the Gemara says you could eat it before you mafresh chal. If you can eat it, it must not be tevel. You're not allowed to eat tevel. So it must be that there's no issue of tevel, and you're allowed to, you could do the hafrasha. So you can eat it and then not be mafresh, and be mafresh later on. Okay, so two nafkaminas to this din are, well, one of them is more practical than the other one. It's like this. What happens if, let's say in this kind of situation, it came Shabbos, and I ate from the bread because I knew that I was going to be mafresh later on. I was counting on it, and I put Chaim in charge of it, and Chaim's going to be in charge to be mafresh chal after Shabbos. Okay, so when I ate the bread, I was all completely with good intentions. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I'm allowed to eat it. And we count on Chaim today afterwards. Okay? And then something happened, and Chaim never ended up being Mafresh Chala. Okay? It never happened. They got thrown out. He forgot about it. Whatever happened, the guy never ended up being Mafresh Chala. So Did I do anything wrong? So, if you say it's not tevel, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I did what I'm supposed to. I'm allowed to eat it. Of course, I have to make sure that someone's mafresh challah, and I did. I assigned someone to be mafresh challah, and then something happened, and then the guy wasn't mafresh challah. But I didn't do anything wrong, because it's not, I didn't do anything wrong. I was allowed to eat it beforehand. I'm supposed to tell someone to be mafresh, and it didn't work out, so I was, what about another? Now that's a little, that's just a shiloh in, you know, copy shmai. They're going to get me for not being mafresh challah. But what happens, what about the other thing? What happens, I made bread, came, and I was not mafresh challah. I baked it in kalim. My mechuyev to kasher the kalim that I used in which I baked this food. If the food would be tevel, then you mechuyev to kasher the kalim. You cook tevel in a kli, you mechuyev to kasher the kalim from that tevel. But if you say this is not tevel, so then I have no reason to wash that kasher the kalim. There's no issue to the food itself. I didn't do anything wrong with the food. The food needs mafresh challah. Okay, so you need to be mafresh challah. Very nice, very nice. What is it, kasher the kalim? Now, I'm not trying to say the other way. It's not for sure that if it is tevel, you have to kasher kalim. I have to tell you, I'm not convinced. But just, it was just to bring up the point, which is, it sounds a little... So the challah itself, the chacham, these rishonim won't say the chacham put an isser onto that food. That food that you mafresh has the din of truma, even the chutzaritz, and it has all the rules of truma to it. You can't if it's tamei, okay, they made it as if it's something you have to kasher. That's a preferish. You have to kasher, and we saw in the last simon, it has all kinds of rules about who can eat it and things like that. But the stuff before you mafresh it has no rules to it. There's nothing to it. You know, nothing. Think about the case like the ma'aser behemah case. Once you make the animal into a ma'aser behemah, now it has rules to it. Before you make it, there's no tevel to it. There's nothing to it. Okay. What I was going to say was that I'm not convinced that you'd be mechuyev to kasher kalim even if you hold it is tevel, because it would seem a little odd. Listen to what's happening over here. We're saying this: you can eat the food, but you have to kasher the kli that you made the food in. Something seems a little funny about that. It seems a little incongruous to say to a person, you could eat it, but then kasher the pot that you just cooked in. So it doesn't sound right.
I'm afraid. You eat the food. It's like something tevel. The Chum said you can be making it something. If you mafresh later, then I'm afraid you didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
So the same thing with the please, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm allowed to eat it. I'm eating the food. But if I want to go cook put up a pot of coffee afterwards, I can't do that because I just ate it. I just ate the food for now.
You still have stuff left. You can do it. Just like eating
no. Right, so what are you saying? I just eat from the food, and now I want to cook up something in that pot. I said, no, you can't cook on the pot, because the pot is straight.
So,
what are
you saying? There's no difference between the food and the bliss.
Right, that...
If you can eat the food, then you could cook something in the pot without kashering, because you'll be mafresh later.
Okay, and...
Then Lafreya will say this wasn't terrible.
Okay, so you said, okay, so maybe you could say, like, we would get to that in a second. Like, maybe that's right. There's going to be two other nafkaminas that I'm not going to talk to you about. One for Shinchok. Hey. About another very unexpected afternoon. Really unexpected. Okay. Fine.
A preview.
That'll make you want to come back next time, is it?
PR 101.
Yeah, it'll make you want to come back when we get to that soon. Okay. So now, this din that I just told you, so far I told you some Rishonim hold that there's no Isra of Tevel on it. Okay? And it works well with our din, which is you could be eating it before you mafresh. Okay? How can you eat it before you mafresh? It must not be Tevel. But there's another din that I already told you that you should be asking me. You should ask me a question. There's an obvious question. If the dough or the bread is not tevel before you mafresh challah, then why can't you be mafresh challah on Shabbos or mafresh challah on Yom Tov? The reason why you're not allowed to be mafresh shumas or maizes on Shabbos and Yom Tov is because of tikkun nada. You're fixing something. You had a apple. You used to not be able to eat it. By being mafresh shumah, now you can eat it. So with the rabban, that's considered tikkun nada. So why isn't it tikkun mana to, why is it tikkun mana to be, when I'm mafresh challah, I'm not doing anything, I'm not being misakin anything, all I'm doing is, I'm doing a mitzvah. Well, the mitzvah doesn't do with the bread that I ate was mutter beforehand, it wasn't misakin anything. It's ke'en tikkun mana. Okay, anybody else want to venture a guess?
I agree with
that. You've been, okay. So, I don't know if you should be proud or not proud that you agree, that you came up with that answer, because the Chazan says, that question that I just asked you is the Gemara's question. Okay? That question that I asked you is the Gemara's question. Okay, the Gemara is like this. This is a very... if you didn't read Rashi or listen to Chazanish, you wouldn't know what this Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says, "Avu de Shmuel Amar, Afil Gilgal Isim Erev Yontif, Eimav Shemen Chalos Ev Yontif." Shmuel's father said, "Daf Tesim Bay." Shmuel's father said, "You can't be Mafresh Chal on Yontif." Okay, the Gilgal before is not important to us. He said, "You can't be Mafresh Chal on Yontif." He's talking about the Chutzarts. "You can't be Mafresh Chal on Yontif." Frank the Gemara, Lema Pliga de Shmuel Adavua. Let's say that Shmuel argues on his father. Okay, Shmuel's father said he can't be Mafresh Challah. Why do we think that Shmuel argues on his father? Because Shmuel says, "Damer Shmuel, chalas chutzars, oichel v'hoich, v'achach mafresh." Shmuel said, "You could eat first, and then you could be mafreshing." And that's not like his father, who said, "You can't be mafresh chala on yontif." What's the connection? What are they talking about? What's the stira? Shmuel's father said, "You could not be mafresh chala on yontif," and Shmuel said, "You could eat something before you mafresh chala on it." What's the connection between those two things? So Rashi says, the Gemara thing is like this. If you can eat it before you mafresh, obviously it's not tevel. So that means, when I am mafresh, I'm not being misakin anything. So why would Shmuel's father say that you can't be mafresh chal and Shabbos? Of course you can be mafresh chal, you're not being misakin anything.
Why can't it be that the Chacham said you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not awesome?
Chacham said you're
like the 2 days in Bishalakum. Is Bishalakum make the Kedem trait? Right. You're not allowed to eat it.
Right.
The parents says there are things that I'm not allowed to do, and there are things that become any certain Bechefta.
Okay.
So it's very, very possible that the Chacham said you can't eat it.
But I'm allowed to eat this.
I'm allowed to eat it. No, I have to do the mitzvah, but it doesn't become a Chefta Misa.
Right, so now when I want to be mafresh on Shabbos, am I fixing the food?
Sure.
Well, how am I fixing the food?
Right now I'm not allowed to eat it.
But Shmuel said, you're allowed to eat it. If I'm allowed to eat, so what am I being misakim when I do that? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Okay, so actually, the kasha that I issue is the Gemara's kasha. But the Gemara's answer, I'm not sure if you should be proud, because the Gemara's answer is, according to the way the Chazanish learns, it's not so clear. Probably Rashi says the same thing. That the Gemara's answer is, you're right. It's not tikkun manah. But once the Chacham said, you can't be marfash all kinds of trumas and maizes on Shabbos, they threw in this one also, and they said, just like all the other ones, you can't do this one also. But be'etzem, you're not being misakin anything when you marfash trumas and maizes. Okay? So actually, according to this reading, the Chazanish has another way you could read the Gemara, but according to this reading, the Gemara actually is a riot to these Rishonim. The Gemara that says that being marfash trumas is not a tikkun on the thing is a riot to these Rishonim. Would be right. Okay.
He said that A bunch of on Shabbos, if you're eating it, so you have to leave over part of the dough to be mafish from it.
Right? Yeah.
You can't eat the whole thing. That's,
right? Yes, I'm assuming.
You have to be mafish from it. So maybe you're only misakin that last piece.
I'm misakin.
You have to be mafish from the leftover challah. You can't just leave off a slice and say, this is challah. You have to be mafish from the challah. So maybe you're only misakin that last
piece. So when does that tikkun? That tikkun happens after Shabbos. You're making it worse. That when I'm being misakin is going to be after Shabbos, I'm going to be the hafrasha. So the Gemara's kasha. So why can't I do hafrasha on Shabbos? Why can't I? Oh, so when I do the, I don't think this. When I do the, if I would do real hafrasha on Shabbos, then I'm being misakin. But if I eat it afterwards, but why am I? The Gemara's question is: if I'm allowed to eat it, means there's nothing. There's no tevel to this thing. If it was tevel, I wouldn't be allowed to eat it.
Right.
So then when I do tikkun later on, I'm not being misakin anything. There's nothing being fixed. Everything is always good until now.
Okay,
let's go on. So, these Rishonim, I told you, Rash and Abba Lamar, who said like this, that there's no Issa Tevel. But other Rishonim, the Rosh and the Rajba, say, yes, there is a Mitzvah Tevel. The Rajba is talking about the Rosh is talking about a person who has made a batter of dough with less than a Shir Challah. Okay? He did it because it had to do with a Shabbos Yom Tov kind of case. We won't be able to do Hafrasha. So he specifically made a batter that was less than the Shir Challah. He made a small batter, but dafka, let's say the shear is 5 pounds, okay, that's not a good example, let's say the shear is 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds, he made a batch that was a pound. So bedafka, so he wouldn't have a chiyuv of challah. So the Rosh says, you should be careful, this is from the Taz, the Rosh says, you should be careful that on Shabbos, don't get that batter next to another batter that you also made that was less than a shear, because if you do, it's going to become chayav and challah. But there's such a thing as being mitzar of things later on, it becomes chayav and challah, and then you won't even realize that happened. You have these two things, they get next to each other, they'll become chayav and challah, and then you end up eating tevel. You won't realize that you're associated with marvish, and you end up eating tevel. Okay, so that's totally not like the other Rishon said, there's no Isra Tevel. He could have said, you'll miss the mitzvah of our Farshas Chala. Okay, that's not what he means. Okay, so some people say like him, like his face, that, no, they say, that's not what he meant. Really, he meant is you'll miss out on the mitzvah, but that's not what he says. Okay, he says you won't be mafra, you won't do that. So how are these Rishonim going to understand our din that you can eat before you mafra? Okay, if they say, and we'll see more people in a second who say this, that there is an Isra Tevel on it, how are they going to understand why you like to eat it before? If we said that there's an Isra Tevel, so what, if it is Tevel, like everything else has Tevel, how come you're allowed to eat before you mafresh? You're not eating before you mafresh Shuma, because it's Tevel. Okay, so, the Dachemoshe says, Taz brings it also. Taz is a little stronger. Says that it works like what Yossi was being Ramzeb before him, which is it works l'mafreya. Usually, you have to be mafreya for something correctly, but over here, since it's an issa d'rabbanan, we say it's a ke'ena yesh breira. And it turns out that when I am Marfish Chala after Shabbos, let's say in that case, I'm Marfish Chala after Shabbos, it turns out that the piece that I was Marfish was always the Chala. We say, Yesh Breira B'drabonon. So the thing that I was Marfish, this piece was always Chala yesterday, so it turned out that I didn't eat before I was Marfish Chala. After I was Marfish Chala, I was Marfish Chala yesterday. You didn't find out until tomorrow what I was doing Marfish, but it turns out that what I ate was not the Chala. Okay? So it's along the lines of, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, in Yevamos, the Machlokes Rishonim, whether the Isser of Tevel in general, not on Chala is Chutzar, in general, the Isser of Tevel, is that an Isser because there's Truma mixed into the food? So don't eat a food with a little Truma mixed in until you pull out the Truma, then you can eat the rest of it. That's what Rashi says. And Tosfos says, no, there's no Tevel is an independent Isser. It's not connected to the fact that there is Truma floating around it. Okay? An Afkamina to that is, what happens if something, you mafresh all the... What does which one mean?
I mean, it's an independent.
There's just an issue. Don't eat food. There's an issue of this food is awesome until you mafresh shumas rice. It's not awesome because there's truma mixed in. It's just awesome to eat. You're not allowed to eat food until you mafresh shumas rice.
Which would answer your blias.
That what?
According to the second shot, places, then blias, there would be no issue or blias.
There is an issue blias because the whole thing is awesome until you mafresh shumas rice. So if I cooked it in a pot, it has blias of pebble in it. It's not because there's truma mixed in. The whole thing is usher. It's 100% isser. According to Rashi, it's like a taruvus of isser. There's a little isser floating around, and we don't know which one it is, so don't eat anything, because there's still isser
floating. According to Rashi, according to Rashi, there's more of a heter on the blitz.
Potential. Okay, now, but Taisa says, the nafgamin is, what happens if a person has, he did all the trumas of maises, except for maiser ani. The only thing he wasn't marfish was maiser ani. So it's still tevel. The dinner is still tevel. But there's no misimidei shemayim for eating maaser ani. Everyone's allowed to eat maaser ani. So, if a person would eat tevel that didn't have a fresh of maaser ani yet, so according to Rashi, there's no misimidei shemayim for eating that. Because the thing that's left, whatever's left in there, I'm not allowed to eat it, because it has the maaser ani, but it's not misimidei shemayim. Nothing so terrible about eating maaser ani. And according to Tosfos, that if the reason why it's just an independent is that Isser eating Tevel. The punishment for eating Tevel is Misimidei Shemayim. Doesn't make difference which Isser is floating around in there. There's an Isser of Misimidei Shemayim for whatever you eat. Okay? So, the way we're saying over here is more along the lines of Rashi. Okay? When we say that the person could be Mafresh L'mafreya, means is, it's not Tevel because later on we're going to find out which piece of Truma was in, which piece of Challah was in here that I was Mafresh later on. And then, so there's nothing wrong with eating the rest of it. According to the Rashi way of looking at it, the whole issue of ever eating tevel is because there's some truma floating around in it. So if we know which is the truma, we'll find out later that we knew which one was the truma, then there's no problem to eat the rest of it. Okay, so this way of looking is like a Rashi kind of way of looking at it. Okay, so there's a machlokes. Machlokes Rishonim, whether it is or it's not tevel. Okay, and so far you take, I mean, it's a machlokes Rishonim. And the Beis Meir wants to say that it's not, that it is not tevel. Okay, but I'm going to give you all the same, the Ramah, and the Shach, and the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, and all the Gadol HaPosekim that you've heard of, all say that it is Tevel. Okay, now the Beis Meir wants to read all of them to be meaning, even though he keeps calling it Tevel, he wants to read all of them to say, no, what they meant was is, you missed out on doing the mitzvah of HaFrasha, okay, but that's not what most people think. And they say, no, what's going on is that the Isser is, there is a regular Isser Tevel, which is what most people would think if you ask them just off the bat, is there an Isser Tevel? Is it Tevel before you eat it? They say, yeah, Chal Sosar Tzitzos is Tevel. Okay? So one is a Ramah right in our day. Okay? What is a Ramah in our day? The Ramah says, what happens if a person with Mafresh Chal? Now, I didn't tell you, but most of the Simon is about the details of what happens if a person is Mafresh Chal and then the Chal, the piece that he pulled out, gets mixed into other foods. Okay, which happens. I'm off for challah, and then by mistake, it fell right back into the batter or something like that. So, a lot of shilohs about that. The Shacharuch talks about cases of whether a kohen whose tummy could eat it. That's not negated to us. We don't eat any challah. But the shiloh about whether a zor, someone who's not a kohen, could eat it, that's a lot of the shilohs here. So, the Rambam says like this. What happens if you pull that piece of challah, and then it fell back in, and it's not going to be bottled? Okay, it's not, the numbers for bittul. Sometimes you need bittul in 100, sometimes you need bittul in shishim. It didn't have the right amount to be bottled. So you got a problem. Because let's say it fell into 20 times as much. So now, all of a sudden, you can't eat the food anymore. You pull out the piece, it fell back in, you can't eat the whole thing. So the Rambam says, I have an idea for you. Okay, you could be Matir Neder. You're allowed to be Matir Neder on Trum and these kind of things. So be Matir Neder, take back the Hafrasha that you ate, and then you make a different Hafrasha. Okay, so the piece that got mixed in, all of a sudden, turned out that it was not Chala. And if it was not Chala, then there's nothing wrong with eating this whole mixture. And then you could be Matir Chala someplace else. Okay, so the Rambam says, you could only do that. You can only do that if you have some of the batter left over besides this piece. If there's nothing else left over, you can't do that. Okay? The Rambam doesn't say don't do it because then you'll miss out the mitzvah. No, that's not what he says. He says because if you won't have any other pieces left over, then, well, my friend, you'll have eaten tevel. When the person eats this thing, he'll be eating tevel. That's what he says. The guy who's eating it, if you'll be matir neder and have no other way to do the hafrasha later on, then he'll have eaten tevel. So you're not allowed to do that. So Rambam says, so don't do that. Therefore, that tells us that what's the problem? It's not that you missed out on the mitzvah of Hafrasha, it's that the guy's going to eat tevel. Okay? The Mishnah Siyaka brings a riot from Rambam in the next Simon, in Simon Shin Chav Dalet. The Rambam talks about a case like this. He says, a person made a knish, a meat knish. Okay? And the dough, on the outside of the knish, needs Hafrasha's challah. But the meat, of course, but the guy baked the knish, and after he baked the knish, he realized that he was not mafresh challah from the dough. So, for the dough part of it, it would be easy to fix it. Just take out a piece now, you could be mafresh now. You don't even need it yet. The shaila is that the meat has bleias from the dough. So, there's a whole deal in here. The Rambam talks about the taz. A lot of people are talking about it. What should you do to save the bleias that are inside the meat?
Okay.
Well, when you do it correctly, when you make the batter, you right away mafresh.
Well, you forgot to make challah.
Yeah. You forgot to make challah. Yeah.
So do you kosher your oven?
Very good. I'm about to talk to that. Very good question. I'm going to talk to you about one thing.
Not get everything you want to
say.
Or
what?
Never
tell.
Either way.
So no. Because the here is not going to help you because the batter the piece that you pull over here. Okay. Now I found that I got the challah off. Okay, but that piece that you pulled off already gave bleas into the meat also. The piece that you pulled off also gave him bleas, okay? So it's a question of how do you do it to avoid that problem? What do you do to make sure there's no bleas in the meat? It's not, again, what the answer to that question is, okay? But the whole question tells us that there's a problem of tevel from that dough that you baked it with. If there was no problem with tevel, if the batter wasn't tevel before you baked it, why would I care that there's bleas from this bread, from the bread part into the meat part? Who cares? He says, obviously we care because this tevel is, the bread before it was tevel, the tevel has gotten into my meat. So now I have to figure out, how do I solve that problem? How can I get rid of the bleas that got into my meat? And that's the shaila here, how you get rid of it. But the whole idea that we even worried about it tells us that there's a problem of tevel on the dough before it. Okay, so now, what Shalom said is actually a serious question, which is, why are we only worried about the bleas from the dough into the meat? Why are we worried every time? We said the idea is you could bake the bread, eat it, and then be mafresh later on. And I said, why are the bleas every time from the dough into the rest of the dough? Why are the bleas spreading into the whole thing? Okay, well, how does that work? Why aren't the bleas, when you bake the bread, later on you're going to be mafresh a piece. Why are we worried about bleas coming from the bread itself into the rest of the dough?
I said, bread itself.
A guy bakes a loaf of bread.
The challah part of it?
Yeah, the challah portion. So later when I mafresh the challah, we're saying that it works.
It's not challah, same challah, but you mafresh it.
It's not, so we said it works on Lamafreya, but so according to these people at this Isra Tevel, it works on Lamafreya.
There's no Isra Tevel on Lamafreya, it's just that...
Well, you see from this thing that there is. They learn it, that the way they discuss the Shaila is that there's Kedusha of the Chala Lamafreya. So that the whole time that you were baking it, there was a piece of Chala that was in there, it was giving bleas into the meat. So how does it work? How could you be, when you eat the bread itself, what the bread itself gave bleas into the other part of the bread. But we turned out the part that turned out to have been challah gave bleas into the rest of the bread.
Okay. Would it make a difference if it's strong
or chutzar? Yeah, only chutzar. You're right, it would be a problem. It's for sure would be a problem. We're only in chutzar where you're allowed to bake it first and then be mafresh later on. So, that.
Wait, buckle isn't really
a challah. So the Daki Moshe brings in our simon. Daki Moshe brings in our simon. There was a Rishon who held, I forgot who he brings, a Rishon who held that what you should do is, when you do the hafrasha later on, when you're make sure you do a very tiny piece. make sure you take sure a very small piece, so small that it'll be bottled b'meya into the bread that you had beforehand. Because this way, the blia that came from the piece that turned out to have been afraid of bin challah, that blia will be bottled b'meya. Okay, that's what someone helped. That's what you're supposed to do that. Okay, the Taz passes like that. You're supposed to do that. Make your hafash a very small piece, when you do the hafash later on, make sure it's very tiny.
If you do hafash on the door, they can clean better.
In the
because the stuff right next to it.
Because the stuff nearby has a closer blade. Okay, you're too smart. Okay, so the document shipping someone holds like that. The Taz says the mice like that. The Taz says, the Ramos says, I'm sorry, the document says, he says, really? He says, anybody ever hear that before? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says, eat it and be mafresh later on. The Gemara doesn't say, make sure you take off a very tiny piece. Where is everybody saying you just do that? So the document says, nah, it can't be. It's not true. He says, so when he explains it, he says, even though it works in the mafreya, even though I'm telling you that it works, the hafresh works in the mafreya, Chacham didn't want to make things so difficult for you. So he said, it works in the mafreya, but it doesn't work in the mafreya for these kind of things. It doesn't work in the mafreya to ask for the food. That's like pushing it. It works in the mafreya to get you off the hook. But lachorma that it should asa your food. Nah, they didn't want to make it so bad. That should work with mafreya. That's what the document says in Simon Shinchov Gimel. That's what he says in Shinchov Gimel. And therefore, when you open up the Ramah in Shinchov Gimel, it doesn't say be mafresh a very tiny piece. It says after you're finished eating it, you take a piece of it and make hafresh salad. He doesn't mislead this thing. Okay? So why in Shinchov Dalid, when it comes to the meat and the knish, in the knish case, does he say you have to make sure you do it in a way that avoids blias? What are you worried about blias? I thought you don't worry about blias, I'm afraid. Okay, this what he worked in the, by the wakala, he didn't say you have to worry about blias. He said, but that you don't have to worry about that when afraid it was challah and gave blias into it. So why by the knish case does he yes have to worry in Shin Chabdal, and all of a sudden he's all worried about the blias from the part that you're mafresh, and so he tells you a whole eitzah how to avoid those blias. What's he worried about? Why is he worried about the mafreya? Okay, so I don't have a good answer. I have a fair answer, that it could be, when we said in Shilchav Gimel that you don't have to worry about Lamafreya, he meant was, and he talks in words like this a little bit, that the whole din of being eating and being mafresh later on is built on the assumption that you're not going to worry about blias. It's sort of it's inherent to that din, if the Chacham would make you be worried about the blias, then the whole din of allowing you to eat before your mafresh would fall apart. Because in every situation, it's going to be like that. Eating means it was baked together. Well, if it was baked together, it gives blias into it. So it's going to be automatic that if you want to let me eat before I'm mafresh, then you can't tell me I have to worry about the blias. Because if I'm going to worry about the blias, I won't be able to eat. So it's sort of like built into the original kula that you can eat before you're mafresh is you don't have to worry about the blias. It's sort of built into that. But all of a sudden, when you come to a case where it's not the built into the case, it's a new food. It's going from the bread into the meat part of it. Then in that case, then you go back to the old, good old-fashioned rules that blias make a difference. So it's going to be a difference of whether it's to the food itself. And the food itself, if you don't say this din, that you don't worry about the blias and the mafreya, then the whole din is going to fall apart. There is going to be no din of eating before your mafresh, because it's going to be automatic that the blias are going to make a problem. But if you, for other things, like it should spread to another food, so for that, maybe the chacham will mock. But it could be an answer. It's a fair answer. The sir is, when the chacham wants to make a kula that said you can eat before your mafresh, for chalas concerns, they want to make that kula. If they take you, we have to worry about the blias, then you're not going to be able to eat. So they have to tell you, don't worry about the blias in the mafreya within the food itself. They didn't have to tell you that if those blias went to another food. You don't need that kula in order to make this thing work. Only if in the food itself, the bread itself, I'm going to say the blias in the bread itself don't work, I'm stuck. No, I don't have a riot. And worse, that I don't have a riot is that the document doesn't say that. The document, when he says this, Chacham didn't want to bother you. Not in the mafreya, don't worry about blias in the mafreya. He doesn't say only in this case. He does say, if he wouldn't have said that, they wouldn't have this din. That he does say. But he doesn't say it's only in that case. So I don't understand why, turn a few pages, and all of a sudden over here we're talking about the Kanish, and in the case of the Kanish, the guy does have to read the blades. I don't really understand it. I don't have a good answer to that. I don't see, anyway, this is Shinchav Dalet Yudbeis. Okay, and the Ramah, the Dakimarsh is at the end of Shinchav Gimel. Now, it's not in the Ramah, because that whole deal going on in the Dakimarsh is not a... comes out not Lamaisa, because he passes that you don't have to mafresh as much as you want to. In other words, he's being Mako, but he doesn't tell you he's being Mako, because there's nothing to say. Okay. One last, there's a Magen Avraham says, a person wants to, it was Erev Pesach, Shechav Shabbos, so the person has dough, and he's going to eat up all the bread, that's fine, but he's got to be mafresh chal. So he can't be mafresh chal on Shabbos, because of Shabbos, he's not going to be mafresh chal. So what is he supposed to do? So on a regular Shabbos, you say, leave over some of the bread, and you'll be mafresh after Shabbos. Okay. Well, what's going to happen with this stuff? If I do this at 8 o'clock in the morning, I eat the stuff, I know that come 11 o'clock, I'm going to have to burn it. So I know that I'm never going to be mafresh challah. Okay, so the Magen Avraham says, so you have a problem, and you're going to end up eating tevel. Okay, that's what he says. Again, like these places, it's going to be an issue of eating tevel. He says, because the mice is, you're going to set aside a piece, and you know good and well that you're not going to be mafresh challah. Now, in this case, it's a little worse. The way he described it so far is a little worse because you know that you're going to eat this stuff. You know you're not going to do the mitzvah of a fresh challah. Because you know that I'm going to put it aside, I'm pretending I'm going to burn it after Shabbos, but I know that come an hour from now, it's going to come this man, I'm going to have to burn it. So I know I'm not going to be a fresh challah. But the Magen Avraham says in another case also, he says maybe what you should do is put aside this piece of dough and give it to a guy. And tell the guy, it's yours. If the Pesach, give it back to me. And after Pesach, when he gives it back to me, then I'll be mafresh challah. So I know that I'll be able to be mafresh challah because I'll give it to the guy now. Before this man, I'm allowed to give it to the guy. I say, guy, here, take this piece. After Pesach, the guy gives me back the piece. When he gives me the piece back after Pesach, then I'll be mafresh challah and I'll be good. So that case, you would think would be okay. But Magen Avraham says, no, he doesn't like that case either. He says, because who said the guy's going to give it back to you? He says, maybe you'll eat it. Maybe you'll throw it out. Whatever's going to happen to it. So even in that case where you might be successful, but Magen Avraham also was not happy. Also, was talking about a table. So just to, if I could summarize in one sentence, we have this machlokes rishonim, whether there is an issur tevel, there's not an issur tevel on chalas chutzaretz. There are those who make them, who said there's no issur tevel at all, but lots and lots of people, it seems to me like the consensus is that there is an issur tevel. So in that regard, just like there's a sort of